Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
This is Fred Film Radio. I'm Mariane Morisawa from the Berlin Film Festival. I'm here at the round table with Bradley Cooper, who plays Richard DeMasso in American Hustle. It seems that actors and directors often do film after film together. You and Dave DeRusso have done a couple of movies now. Do you have a long-term talk about the projects you want to do?
One never knows what's going to happen, but we definitely found each other at the right times in our sort of professional life and our personal life. You know, I think that we were just talking in the room before you guys got in here. Hello, by the way. Thanks.
Hello.
The same things turn us on artistically. You know, we love behavior and specific incidents that have happened or we've read about, and sort of taking those as starting points for fictional stories. There's a real joy that we both have for the kind of cinema that he does. I mean, I really do love the way he makes a movie. I'm also lucky that we have a way of communicating with each other now that is pretty minimal in terms of words, and so that allows for a lot of choices to be tried during the actual filming process. So I can just sort of look at him and understand what he wants, or almost feel what he wants, and just try it on in the moment. So these are movies that we shoot very fast, not many takes, so it's a high intensity and a lot of velocity. So to be able to have that communication is essential and allows for a lot of possibilities in the editing room. So that's a kind of a really nice, really positive byproduct of our relationship, and I think probably why we work together now. And then I was able to executive produce both of these movies, and you know, talking about doing stuff in the future.
From the outside, it seems that it's a very chaotic process. I know David might talk to Ryan Sim, for instance. How is it for an actor in that situation?
I don't know. If it doesn't feel chaotic, it feels rhythmic, and it feels musical.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like jazz. I mean, I guess there's a way of discussing jazz, or any music is chaotic, but it's sort of, I see it as sort of a tempo that you jump into and swim down the river with, mixing sort of images, but I think you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So I dig the flow of the way that he works.
So how did you feel about having that special hair? And how many times did you have to break up a scene because you had to laugh?
Never really. We laughed all the time anyway, but not because of our hair. We all sort of, we all had something like that. You know, Christian had the comb over. Amy had, very low-cut dresses. And, Jeremy had a pompadour thing going on, so it was, everybody had it, and everybody took it very seriously. We were laughing about many other things besides the way we looked.
Was it your real hair?
It was my real hair, yeah.
How did you feel?
I loved it. Oh, I absolutely loved it. I said it's like a springboard. I was amazed that it turned out. You never know when you grow your hair.
How do you feel about being at the Berlin Film Festival?
Very excited. I remember always reading about it, and friends who have gone here and received accolades, and I've never been to many film festivals. I was at the Sundance Film Festival twice. I was at Cannes never went to any of the ceremonies, so I've never really been anywhere, any festival. I was a juror at the Tribeca Film Festival, so I enjoy the idea of 2 weeks or 10 days watching films, and it's kind of a wonderful process, especially for filmmakers who aren't within the studio system. And then just sort of selfishly, I got to watch Wes Anderson's movie last night, which I thought was tremendous. Yeah, really great.
You're playing a very ambitious character in the movie. Is that something that you related to?
Richie DeMasso is a guy who's, his ambition is very idealistic. I mean, it's not for personal gain, it's for this sort of sense of right and wrong. He really is a child. He's like this 12-year-old boy, really, in the movie. And he's petulant, and he yells at people, and he gets, like, frustrated, and he doesn't really know what to do with women. You know, he falls kind of madly in love with who he thinks this woman is. And then, a perfect example of what I'm talking about is when they're at Studio 54, and he very much looks like a man, dances like a man. You know, and it's a masculine, sexy scene, and then he takes her into the bathroom, and they don't have sex, he actually goes back after he lifts her dress and says, "I really like you," as if he's a little boy. I mean, that's what he says. So it's, you know, and you're like, "What? Wait a second." You know, because the scene all of a sudden takes a completely different turn. And that's that reveals who he is. So I just see his innocence driving him more than anything. And we watch, sadly or hysterically, his downfall as the movie progresses. And he at the end of it is you know, becomes much wiser to the way of the world. You know, when Irving says to him, you know, "You really didn't get anybody. You know, not the big money. You got a couple politicians, a few con artists, but did you make any difference? Did you really make any difference?" And I think Richie realizes that at the end. That speech he gives to his mother in the kitchen, that he's going to change things. You know, now he's the quarterback, and he's going to, you know, he's going to do right by him, do the righteous thing by her. You know, he really is way off.
How do you feel about all those Oscar nominations now for your movie?
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, I mean, it's you just sort of say thank you, and you're grateful, and get to show up at the event and enjoy yourself.
How important are awards for an artist?
Well, not very important, I don't think. If you look at Alfred Hitchcock, who received an honorary Oscar at the end of his career, which is ridiculous, or, you know, Martin Scorsese, who never received, you know, anything until The Departed, right? Did he not even? I mean, that's kind of insane, you know. Or Jim Carrey not even being nominated for the Andy Kaufman film, or, you know, I mean, there's so many crazy examples. And the other thing is, you forget who won. You know, a year later, no, who remembers who won? It's so funny, you know. But it's a fun thing to do while you're there. But the lasting effect is, you know, Al Pacino's won one Oscar, I think. I mean, it's crazy.
Was it a hard transition from the Hangover movies to these kinds of more dramatic roles?
You know, I didn't, but only because I think I've been very, very lucky. I remember after doing the Hangover movies, sort of definitely, I heard often, you know, you have to be comfortable knowing that you'll always be the guy from the Hangover, and that's just the way it's going to be. And I thought, oh, wow, maybe I was naive to think that. I never thought that. And then luckily I made a movie called Limitless that did well, and all of a sudden that changed things. And then I was able to have opportunities like Silver Linings Playbook, and then Place Beyond the Pines, and then American Hustle, and so that I was able to sort of quickly come out from under that. But it could have gone a different way, you know.
But it seems it was a fast transition from the Hangover to the Oscar-nominated actor. Did you feel that way?
No, only because, well, first of all, getting nominated for an Oscar is insane. And, you know, that was great. That does feel fast, just in general. I mean, just, not even fast, just kind of like surreal. But for me, the Hangover movies were very complicated, sophisticated films, you know, especially the first one. Mm-hmm. And Phil, the character I played, was just as much to me as an actor, a character as Richie DeMasso. I mean, he walked a certain way, he talked a certain way, his view of life was very different from my own, everything. So, and the rhythm of that movie was very specific. You know, the rhythm of all three guys in order to create this music of comedy was very, I wouldn't say difficult. I mean, it was difficult, but, you know, it was very sophisticated, like American Hustle is. You know, David O. Russell is all about rhythm, and so is Todd. Comedy has to be about that. So in terms of the working process, no, not at all. Mm-hmm. But maybe I totally understand by the marketing and the way a movie's received, it would seem like, how is that possible, potentially?
How important was the Hangover for your career?
Oh, I think it was vital. I think that there's no way I would have been able to have the opportunity like Limitless if I hadn't been in a movie that was so financially successful. I don't think a studio would have said you could be the lead of a movie. Certainly a movie that was one that was so sort of specific to one, like a one character movie in a lot of ways, you know. And I think if I hadn't had that opportunity, I don't think the Weinstein Company would have allowed me to play the lead in a David O. Russell Silver Linings Playbook. You know, there's each thing begot the next.
When was the moment you said, okay, acting is what I want to do?
Early, when I was like 12, yeah, very early on I thought that. I just never did anything about it until I was about 25, but I definitely knew what I wanted to do.
And why was that?
The Elephant Man, actually, it was a film. I remember my father showing me The Elephant Man when I was 12, and there were many other movies that I felt completely engrossed in, but it was that movie where I sort of concretized in my brain that I wanted to do that.
Do you think American Hustle is a political movie?
You know, I think it's, I remember watching a Q&A with Paul Thomas Anderson and Daniel Day-Lewis, and they asked them that question about There Will Be Blood, and, you know, it's for the audience to decide. You know, they were just trying to make a movie about a character, you know, and I think David was trying to make a very personal movie that had a lot of magic and comedy and love of life, and, you know, that it's really for the that's the audience to determine.
From the Berlin Film Festival, this is Mariane Morisawa for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.